Welcome to this week's episode of the Marked for Eternity podcast, where we bring you biblical truth on topics such as marriage, family, and ministry. This episode is made possible by the Ultra Global Partners. To find out more information about the Ultra Global, please go to theultraglobal.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Here are your hosts, Jeremiah and Paul Johnson.
Welcome to the Mark for Eternity podcast. This is one of your hosts, Jeremiah Johnson.
And it's a new year, 2023. This is Paul Johnson. We're excited to share what the Lord has put on our hearts and believing God for what's ahead. I hope you're excited about a new year and all that the Lord is going to do. Let faith arise. What do you think, Jer?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'm thinking is, you know, if anyone's aware of the Hebrew calendar, you know, there's always like, you know, technically the new year on the Hebrew calendar started in September. And so here we are, you know, in January. But, you know, Paul, like being in the prophetic world, we've talked a lot about, you know, like the world that I live in, you know, people have been prophesying about a new year the last couple of months. And then I go to all these prophetic gatherings and they're asking me what the Lord is saying. So, you know, for me, I did have a dream on the first night of the new year of the Hebrew calendar. And then a couple of nights ago, I had a dream, you know, toward the end of 2022 on, you know, more of like a linear calendar, if you will. So, you know, regardless of when I have had them, you know, I always just wait on the Lord and see what he's saying to me. So the first thing that I believe that the Lord is saying in 2023 is that there's going to be a clash at the gates. And one of the passages of scripture that God gave me was Acts chapter 3, that I believe in 2023, there's going to be a massive clash at the gates of cities all over the earth regarding the spirit of religion and revival. I believe that we're going to see a great clash in the earth regarding those who want to follow religiosity and those who want to pursue the more of God revival. So I'm expecting an intensity, a fresh confrontation to emerge in cities. I think that there's going to continue to be a dividing line. I know that Jesus prayed the prayer of unity in John 17, but I think that we have to understand in our minds, real unity doesn't come without confrontation. Yeah. Real unity doesn't come until we start speaking the truth and getting things out on the table. And I think that there is a false pursuit of unity, this kind of like you just hold your peace about what you really think and you hold your peace and then we'll just kind of shake hands. And I really foresee in 2023 a lot of people needing to embrace confrontation that will lead to unity. So there's going to be a clash at the gates in Acts 3. You do have a confrontation there of a lame, crippled beggar who is being sat by a gate called Beautiful. And then you have Peter and John walking up. And so I believe that the religious spirit can be categorized, Paul, as a crippling spirit. I think that the religious spirit comes to maim people. It comes to castrate them. It comes to try to tell people who are on fire for God, pursuing the more. The religious spirit says it doesn't take all that. And I do believe that God is calling people into a radical measure of Christianity. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take fasting. It's going to take radical worship and preaching to overcome religion. And so I'm sort of excited, but I also feel like, again, people listening today need to get ready for not some false unity social club. There's divine confrontation coming to cities in the earth, and it's going to require fresh voices to emerge that aren't timid, that are embracing a boldness and courage. So that was the first encounter that I had. But before I share the other one for 2023, Paul, why don't you comment on what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're making me want to pray in tongues. You're such a prophet. Confrontation. Wow. So I believe that unity is the fruit of clarity, right? So unity is the fruit of clarity. We have unity because there's real clarity. So we spend a lot of time talking about unity. And what I hear you saying through my grid is we need clarity. Because if you don't have clarity, if things aren't clear, then you won't have unity. So you're talking about not hiding your convictions, not holding back, not watering things down, not reducing or sanitizing the gospel, but saying, hey, we're going to preach it hard, preach it unashamed. And then that's really going to separate the sheep from the goats or the wheat from the tares. That's going to be the dividing line, the black and white that helps us to know, hey, who's really in and who's really out? Because there are many people that are giving lip service to Jesus. They're trying to worship God merely with their lips, but real worship is a lifestyle of surrender to God. It's submitting your will to Him. And so I agree with you 100%, but I think we don't talk about clarity enough and clarifying the true gospel, what it means to follow Jesus. We have a discipleship crisis in the church. You have people that are trying to do the minimum, that are lazy, that are making excuses. It was A.W. Tozer who said, a whole new generation of Christians has come up believing that it's possible to accept Christ without forsaking the world. And the early church, those two things go hand in hand. You leave sin behind. You leave your old life. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I find that some people want to follow the Lord but have as little change in their life as possible, where really we should be embracing, hey, God wants everything. Even the breath in my lungs is borrowed. It belongs to Him, my money, my time. I am a living sacrifice, and you're not going to catch fire unless you have sacrifice, unless you get up on the altar, so to speak, and you give it all to Him. So I'm encouraged, and I think that 2023 is going to be another year, because really this has been happening in especially 2020 through COVID. This is, I think, year three of post-COVID world of the dividing line becoming clear of who's in and who's out, who's really following Jesus, who has courage, honestly, who has boldness, who is really stepping forward, who's willing to pay a price for Jesus. You know, we have snoozed for so long because of our casual attitude. Casual church, casual Christianity, casual sex, casual dress. It's a casual and relaxed atmosphere. Come to our church, you won't be uncomfortable. And it's crazy how all of that has watered us down, and we've catered to people who are lukewarm, who want to be half in, half out. They want to hold hands with Jesus and the devil and call themselves believers, and Jesus vomits the lukewarm out of His mouth. So you got me going. I'm excited. Bring on the clash at the gates. It'd be for the glory of God.
Yeah, it was Steve Hill, you know, who said being casual creates casualties.
So good.
And I think that there is a casual Christianity, and, you know, because I travel all over and preach in different cities, I mean, you feel that tension, you know, people that comment online. I mean, I even think like the church in some areas has become so religious, Paul, that we have hijacked words like revival. You know, I saw somebody post on the other day that it said something like, I want the word revival back. In other words, because it's been stolen and it's like we're putting the word revival on things that are really religious, and it's deceiving and tricking people into believing like I was a part of a revival weekend and there was no repentance, there was no turning away from sin, there was no real gospel presentation, there was no real signs, wonders, and miracles, no manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, nothing that represents anything revival-oriented in the Word of God or revival history, but I was a part of revival. So there's even just such a danger in the earth today where, I think what people have to understand is the nature of religion is that it comes as a disguise. The nature of religion, it presents itself like it is real and legitimate, and underneath it, it's really not. And one of the things that, Paul, I'm thinking of is the Pharisees and the religious leaders, right? If you just looked at them and you observed some of the choices. These were people that prayed, they fasted, they gave, they wore phylacteries. They had the presentation of being in right relationship with God. Yeah. But yet Jesus walks right among them and they say that he's demon possessed.
Yes.
So I think some people, again, I feel the Holy Spirit breathing on this confrontation thing. Because there's a false unity message, there's a false love and peace message we just want people to settle down. We just want them to agree with the spirit of the age. I mean, Paul, I took my kids to the movies this week, and you know, my wife, they had a women's event at church, and so dad is going to take them out to eat and go to the movies. So I take our four kids out to eat and we go in the movies, and we go into the only kid movie there is. I don't know anything about it. We go into the movies, we get the popcorn and the drinks, and within 7 minutes of the movie, they've already introduced a main character, a child who is a homosexual with another child. And I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world is a kid's film in a movie introducing homosexuality to young kids? Well, I got up and walked out.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell me you walked
out. Yeah, we didn't last 7 minutes in the movie. And of course, our kids are like, what's happening? And I'm just like, man, but you could have just sat there. And this is what I think happens to people. You said don't sanitize the gospel. Yeah. Well, people get desensitized to evil. The more that you agree with it and the more you don't actually take a stand against it, I could have just sat in the movie with the kids, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, they don't know anything about it. Meanwhile, for the next 90 minutes, we're getting literally vomited on and submitting our spirits to the spirit of the age. And so I just think a lot of people, Paul, I mean, you've heard this before. It's like they admit that they attend a dry, stale, non-spirit-filled church. And they go there for weeks and years and don't even realize the longer you submit yourself to religious environments, the more you become religious yourself.
Yes.
And so I just think that there's a, like the Lord, even like in, on the one of the first weeks of the year, listeners are listening to this podcast, God's trying to wake some of you up. God's trying to release a holy confrontation on this podcast right now, saying, hey, if you continue to submit your family, your marriage, your spirit to lukewarmness, to religiosity, to something that looks good on the outside, or maybe it's a form of evil. You know, going to a kid's movie and they're introducing homosexuality. I mean, Paul, how many churches, denominations today are telling people there's nothing wrong with homosexuality?
Bro, drag queens are preaching in churches,
dude.
No, man, it's crazy. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the takeover is wild. It's absolutely, we've let the devil in even into our pulpits, but you're 100% right. We have to wake up. We have to respond. I wish I had... whoever this quote is, I can't remember. This is classic. I'm sure some of you have heard it, but they said, first we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote evil, then we celebrate evil, then we persecute those who still call it evil.
Wow.
And that is, you know, that's the Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who call bitter sweet, sweet bitter. Woe to those that bring confusion when in the heart and mind of God, these things are clear. You are either for him or against him. There's no neutrality with Jesus, and we've created a fence and a whole middle lane for people. And the gospel plow, like a V blade, is coming right down the middle to separate. Because listen, if you are on the fence, you will surely perish. If you are uncertain and unsure, you need to get on your knees right now before God. This is your moment. Give your life, give your heart, give your will, give your wallet to Jesus and say, I'm going to do it your way. I'm done doing it my way, because it's really a death to self. And Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 in verse 5, where he gives the list that in the last days there will be all these things, all these deceptions, and he mentions those who have the appearance of godliness, a form of godliness, but what?
Yeah, you deny the power.
You deny the power of God.
Yeah.
So you have that form. It looks good. It sounds good, but you're denying the power. What? The power of God, not just for signs, wonders, and miracles, but the power of God to transform, to heal, to save, to not be conformed to the ways of this world, but to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to be fully transformed by the power, by the word of God. So, man, we have a clash. There's a confrontation. It's from the Lord. And I fear for all those people that avoid conflict, that avoid confrontation, that don't know how to resolve it, that don't know how to stand up, and honestly, just don't know how to count the cost for, man, you know, you're going to lose friends, you're going to lose money, you're going to lose things, you're going to, but it's a sacrifice unto Jesus. It's a, you know, even your old friendships, your old whatever, it's like, look, your old friends can become your new friends when you win them to Jesus Christ. But otherwise, if they won't turn and they won't repent, then you have to leave them behind because you're following him.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, Paul, that first dream that I had, you know, entering into the new year on the Hebrew calendar, the clash at the gates, you know, I think that we're right on the money here. And then the next dream that I had, just a couple of days ago, the Lord began to talk to me out of Matthew 23 for 2023. And again, I find this very interesting because in Matthew 23, this might be Jesus's biggest clash,
yes,
with the Pharisees, with that religious spirit, where he releases seven woes, yeah, over them. I mean, you know, again, I know that we all like to picture Jesus as loving and kind. And here's the truth. He was loving and kind to sinners. He was very compassionate and merciful toward those who were oppressed. He saw them like sheep without a shepherd. But here's the deal. Almost every confrontation and almost every rebuke that Jesus is giving in the New Testament is toward who? The Pharisees and the religious leaders. And again, there's this clash that's coming to the gates in 2023. But there is also, again, a Matthew 23 revelation for 2023, where there is a confrontation coming. And here's an essence, you know, if you just read like Jesus, it's Matthew 23, 1, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and his disciples saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses.
Yeah.
Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." And this is the epitome of religion, where it's hypocrisy.
Right.
There is a religious hypocrisy. And what does that mean? They are presenting themselves. And again, I want to sound the alarm on the spirit of religion. The spirit of religion presents itself like it has real, authentic relationship with Jesus. But what happens is, as he begins to pronounce woes on them, he says something like this: the outside of the dish,
yeah,
looks clean,
yeah,
but the inside is dirty. You have, you know, the New Testament, you mentioned it before, you have a form of godliness, but you deny. And this is the seduction of religion. It says we're having revival, but there's nothing of real revival. It says we're a spirit-filled church. Oh, but by the way, the gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't welcome at our services. God does not like this.
Yes.
And I want to, God does not like, and he is coming to confront those things that people do that are seducing and deceiving people, acting like we love the Holy Spirit when really we love the clock on the wall way more than him.
Whoa. I love what Barry said. He said, do not be deceived. The Pharisees, where Jesus called them lovers of money, and they tithed everything they had. So even that's powerful of,
yeah,
oh, I tithe,
yeah,
oh, I give, oh, I attend, oh, I serve, oh, I, but it's the heart. It's, he says, inwardly, you're a ravenous wolf.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, I mean, maybe we could say it like that. There's a revelation of Jesus coming in 2023. That's not your homeboy. Well, there's a revelation of Jesus 2023. That's not okay. And it's not sitting back, enjoying sin and compromise and religious hypocrisy, checking off religious boxes. There's a Jesus coming in 2023 that loves us enough not to leave us the way that he found us. There's a Jesus that's coming in 2023 that confronts carnality, that's going to, again, there's a clash coming at city gates all over the world. And God's giving us an opportunity to repent.
Yes.
He's giving us an opportunity to examine our lives. Are we people that do not practice what we preach? You know, there's a word in here for parents. It's like we meet parents who they want an encounter with God for their kids, but the problem is they don't have an encounter with God for themselves.
Right.
So even parents that are listening today, grandparents, if you want your young people to encounter God, don't be someone that preaches encounter but doesn't practice encounter.
Yeah.
Don't be someone that preaches real relationship with Jesus and you don't have a real relationship with Jesus.
Yes, so good.
Paul, will you pray for us as we enter into 2023 that the Holy Spirit would lead us this year?
Hey, so we've talked a bit about the body of Christ. I want to, if we can pivot just for a couple more moments.
Yeah.
I want to share just personally, Jeremiah, if you have anything, just a word for you, for your life, for your family. You know, I know for us, we always want to keep the podcast real and don't ever want people to feel like, hey, we're preaching at you. No, we're standing with you. And so I know for us, you know, back in 2021, the Lord spoke to us three words. It was recovery, reset, and reward. And so I'm believing in 2023 for that reward. I believe this is going to be a rewarding year, and I'm standing in faith to receive that. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and that anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, so that he's real, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So an important component of faith and approaching God is believing that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, this doesn't always manifest in positions or money or opportunity, but God rewards us with the greatest reward he could give us, which is more of himself. So I'm believing for that reward. I'm believing for a greater revelation, deeper understanding, more wisdom, clarity in my life, in my call in 2023, so that I can fulfill what he's asked me to do, so that I can be a great husband, a great father, a great friend. Those are my three main goals in life. I want to be faithful in those areas of marriage, of family, and of friendship to others, and of course to Jesus, and to host his presence and to abide in him. So that's for me personally in 2023, what I'm believing for in faith. How about you, Jeremiah?
Yeah, I think that, you know, sometimes the Lord releases corporate words, you know, through prophetic voices, you know, and then the Lord invites all of us on a personal level to hear what God is saying for our families and our lives. So, I mean, I appreciate on this podcast that I'm talking more about what God could be saying to the body of Christ globally as a prophetic voice. And then you're on here saying, that's great. And I agree with that. Amen. But I'm also believing on a personal level based off of, and I think it's so important. Like there's a lesson here of, you know, don't despise prophecy, prophetic utterance. Like we want to hear what God is saying through prophetic voices for a new year, but we also want to take the time to hear God for ourselves. And it's really both, and it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Right.
And so I know on a personal level, you know, for family or even here at the church, one of the verses that God has given us is to believe for immeasurably more than we can ask for or imagine.
Yes.
And I just really believe believe for people that are pursuing God, that what they're going to inherit is like a Goshen. You know, I really believe that we're moving in days where, yes, there's hardship, there's trial, there's shaking coming to the earth, and there was plagues that came upon Egypt, but the people of God were in a land called Goshen, where God spared them from the end time, you know, the plagues in their days. And I just believe we're going to be a people moving forward, like you're saying, that will inherit reward, that will inherit the goodness of God. So, Paul, can you close us out in prayer?
Absolutely. You prophesied, now I'll pray.
Go for it.
Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this new year. God, we worship you in it. We come to serve you, Lord. We recognize that we have breath in our lungs to bring you glory, Lord. We ask for the year 2023 that you would cause this clash, that you would bring this confrontation. Jesus, you are the judge of the living and the dead, and we submit to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would make things clear in your body in 2023, Lord. We pray for the exposure of false things, Lord, yes, false Lord. Teaching, false doctrines, false apostles and prophets. We ask, Lord, for the real, for the tangible, for the true witnesses of Jesus, to those that are holding on to you in faith and preaching you regardless of the cost or consequence, Lord, we ask that you would draw the dividing line in your body and in your church, Lord. We pray that you would deal with religion, that you would drive it out of the body, Lord, but first that you would address it in our own hearts. Lord, if there be anything in us that offends you, if there be any way in our lives that is hypocritical, that is imposing and putting burdens on others when we're not willing to move them or deal with them in ourselves, Lord, would you show us? Would you be faithful, Lord? Your word is a mirror, it says in James. Lord, we ask for a healthy look and perspective in the mirror of what needs to change, Father, that before we reach out to others to address what's in their eye, Lord, that we would remove it from our own first, Father. Would you grant us grace to walk in humility, Lord, that you would bring purity and clarity to your body, that we would experience greater unity, Lord, truer unity than ever before, Lord, a unity that doesn't acquiesce, that doesn't back down, that doesn't lower the standards to help others fit in, but instead raises the bar and lifts up the high calling of Jesus. Lord, would you bring this about in your body, because you're worthy, because your sacrifice was once and for all time. And Lord, we yield to the shed blood of Jesus and the finished work of the cross. And we ask, God, that you would bring about all this by your presence and your power of the Holy Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us on the Mark for Eternity podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Mark for Eternity podcast, as we seek to bring biblical truth to this generation regarding topics such as marriage, family, and ministry. We want to give a special thank you to our ultra-global partners who make it possible for us to release fresh content such as this in order to train and equip the body of Christ around the world. If you were blessed by this episode, make sure to go to theultraglobal.com/podcast to listen to current and past episodes. God bless, and thank you for listening.